When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here's Moody, a 47-yarder to give the 49ers the lead, and Jake Moody is able to bang that one through. 8:23 remaining in the third.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, that's Jake Moody field goal from 47 yards out. That was the play that immediately followed the Deebo Samuel drop on 3rd and 10, which at the very least would have put the 49ers in the red zone. It might have gone all the way for a touchdown, and who knows, that might have impacted the end and in the final score of this football game. But the pain does not end there for the Niners, because as we learned post-game, Kyle Shanahan telling the media that Devondre Campbell essentially quit on this football team tonight. Devondre Campbell, who has been the team's starting linebacker alongside Fred Warner essentially all season until tonight, did not want to play in the second half of this game once Dre Greenlaw went down, and Niners teammates have in unison all voiced their displeasure, to put it kindly, with what Devondre Campbell did. We told you what George Kittle said. He has never been around someone like that and never wants to be around someone like that again. Mooney Ward called it sucker stuff. And D'Amador Lenore has taken to Twitter and he has tweeted this: "I call you brothers, deeper than the surface. Blood makes us related. Loyalty makes us family. I'll never quit on my brother no matter what happens. I'm cut from a different cloth. It can be 50 versus 1. I'm standing on all 10. Not difficult to find out that's about Devondre Campbell. So D'Amador Lenore, George Kittle, Mooney Ward. I'm sure we will hear from Fred Warner and a number of other 49ers. Brock Purdy addressed it postgame. We'll hear from Brock in a little bit about it. Every single Niners player, and more importantly, every single Niners leader, and D'Amador Lenore, by the way, quickly becoming one of the leaders on this team, absolutely railing against what Devondre Campbell did today, and for good reason. He quit on this football team when they desperately needed him in the second half.
Kind of feels like the Niners are going to go win by like 30 next week.
In
like
Miami?
No, for sure. But the way everybody's responding to this Devondre Campbell thing is fascinating to me, because this is not a locker room that is all of a sudden like, man, season's about over. Let's try and just get healthy and rest up and get ready for next year. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Like, this is a locker room that's angry because this dude quit. Like, I know it doesn't really matter, but to me, the fact they're all galvanizing around this thing makes me think that the 49ers aren't going to lose out here. I think this is having a very real impact on mindsets in the 49ers locker room. At least that's how it seems.
Well, it shows they're connected in some form or fashion, that despite how bad the year's been, despite how bad Brock played tonight and Deebo played tonight, and how bad the injuries have been, 43 games missed by Pro Bowlers this year, the most by any team in football? despite all those things that have happened, despite being 6-8 and losing 12-6 tonight, they quickly have come together and said, nope, we're not going to stand for that. We are connected and unified for what seems like the first time all year. Like, the message has simply been, we don't play with that. You want to quit? Fine, quit. We're here. I'm going to play. Even if we are 1-16, I'm going to still duke things out, the brothers next to me, and we're going to go out there and fight till the end. And, you know, Devondre Campbell, man, like, Ricky Pearsall got shot. Mooney Ward lost a child. And they both came back. And you have the audacity to tell the teammates that you played with for 13 games, the team that gave you a contract when nobody else wanted to, I quit? Like, how do you think the rest of the league feels about that now? Like, he's not, like, I would not be shocked if he never plays another snap.
There's I'd no be shocked if he did.
Oh, right. Sorry, yes. He'll never play again, is how I'll put that. Like, there's no grace period. There is no, well, let him justify it. No. Like, done. Goodbye. At 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, he better be cut.
Yeah.
Like, there is no hearing him out. People lost children this year and came back for this team. And you can't because you didn't get your way? It's pitiful. It's childish.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Agree 100% with everything that you laid out there. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan and others on it. But essentially, again, Javondre Campbell refused to enter this game in the second half when the Niners needed him to, because Dre Greenlaw went down with an injury, and there were a couple of other Niner linebackers who filled in, and they also were not playing at 100%, and in an ideal world, Javondre Campbell would have been in there multiple times throughout the second half. Okay, as promised, back out to the phone lines as overtime continues. The Niners fall to the Rams 12-6. Niners season is all but over. Postseason chances are much closer to zero than they are to 1%. This feels cooked for the 49ers, and we're reacting with you all night long here on Overtime. Up next is Caleb in Livermore. Caleb, what's up? You're on Overtime. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
You know, we're hanging in there after another rough Niners day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm just, that Devondre Campbell stuff is hilarious, man.
Wow.
Crazy. But just two things, man. So if you guys had to sum up the Niners season in one word, what would it be? And the second one, when you look at this Niners roster, a lot of the higher-priced guys, who would you keep and who would you move on moving forward? That's what I got for you guys. Have a good night, man.
Good question, Caleb. First of all, Niners season in one word. I mean, this is an easy one. I'll just go disappointing because the expectations were so high, and now you're looking at being the worst team in your own division. Disappointing for so many reasons because you had so many games earlier in the year that you had big leads in the second half, and you couldn't hold them. Disappointing is the word I'll use, although that feels kind of soft. It's been a lot. It's been a lot worse than just disappointing this year.
Yeah, I think that hits the right note, though. Because there's abominable, heinous, abysmal works, dreary, I think, kind of works. But disappointing hits the right note because it's I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. there was all the injury stuff, but which makes it really hard to be like, oh, I'm so angry, because if they're healthy all year, this team looks a lot different. I think you saw that tonight. You saw glimpses of it tonight.
Yeah.
Just their defense with Hufanga and Greenlaw in there is like, oh my gosh, these guys are not playing at 100%, and look at how much of a difference they're making. But you go to the penalties, the special teams mistakes, the turnovers, the regression from Brock Purdy, just like, eh. The way Debo Samuels played, it's like, yeah, this is pretty disappointing. I think disappointing is the word I would land on.
It's certainly a good one. I think I'll land on mismanaged. And the reason why I say that is because I think the offseason was mismanaged. I think who they brought in, obviously Devondre Campbell being one of them, after tonight. But I think just the way they mismanaged how to fix the offense during the year, and I get you can't make wholesale changes, but not being able to pivot, not being able to survive without Christian McCaffrey or Debo Samuel when he's playing poorly, not being able to have a first-round pick in Ricky Pearsall and not getting involved in the offense, that's you're mismanaging the offense to me. And on defense, you have Nick Sorensen, a guy that wasn't your first choice either, saying, here's the job and do what you can. That's mismanagement to me. You missed your first choice. You missed your second choice. Okay, here's your third choice. And he struggles for the most part, but in the biggest game of the year, they do well. And I think that Nick Sorensen's kind of locked in the job maybe for next year. Time will tell the next 3 weeks or so, but he's given himself a chance to keep his job at least. But I would say they've mismanaged this year. They mismanaged, Christian McCaffrey snaps. Jordan Mason wasn't getting on the field much after that. Brock, the errant throws and the shoulder injury. This whole year just feels mismanaged for me.
Yeah.
Do you know the sensation I have felt this year? You know when you guys played baseball growing up, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know when you're really excited to play and then you wake up and you see it's cloudy?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, oh, man, it's going to rain.
Those 9 a.m. tournament weekends.
Yeah, dude, exactly. You're putting your uniform on, and you put on a sock, and you look, and you're like, is it raining? Oh, no.
It's
dang
it. It's kind of humid outside.
Yeah, and you can just feel my day's about to get ruined.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this has felt like since week 3. They smoked that game against the Rams, and it was I don't like the direction this is heading. And then, okay, they beat New England. Oh, hey, is it clearing up a little bit? Oh, and then you blow a big lead to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, that's a raindrop. And that's just kind of that's the sensation I have felt about the 49ers all year. I've so badly wanted to get excited. I've so badly looked for reasons to be excited. I've so badly looked for that break in the clouds where the sun is coming through and, oh, it was just overcast. And no, it's raining. It's pouring. Game's canceled. We're not getting this one in today, boys.
Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way, but now that you bring it up, that does feel right, and you get that pit in your stomach because you were so looking forward to, being able to run the bases and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
But now you don't even have that opportunity. To answer our caller's other question, which was high-priced veterans that may be on their way out, this is an interesting conversation, and it's going to fill so much time this offseason. On 95.7 The Game and Niners talkers everywhere. I mean, the first name that pops to mind for me is Debo Samuel, but the Debo Samuel conversation is a little more difficult when it comes to the money, because if you just straight up cut him, what is it, the pre-June or July 2nd?
June 1. Pre-June 1.
June 1st. Pre-June 1st, the cap hit, or the dead cap hit, is so much higher than if you wait. And the reason why you'd want to wait, of course, is to save money. But the reason why you'd want to do it earlier is to be able to capitalize and sign free agents on money that you save. So that kind of makes it awkward in terms of how you handle the Deebo Samuel contract, because if you cut him before June 1st, you still have to pay out a big portion of that that counts against you. If you wait, you don't owe as much. That makes it difficult. Oddly enough, I thought earlier in the season Talanoa Hufanga was going to be gone, but the way that he's played, I mean, they might re-sign him and have him be the starting safety alongside Malik Mustafa. And Jair Brown stays as a backup, and then when he's up for a contract, they don't re-sign him. And then another one that comes to mind, and this is not necessarily due to poor play, although he has not been great this year, it's Mooney Ward. I don't think there's space for him on this team in the future either, and you feel terrible for what's happened to him personally this year. But Renardo Green and Diomedor Lenore seem relatively locked in for consistent roles on this team. I'm not so sure there's room for Mooney Ward. So the two veteran names I'd keep an eye on, Mooney Ward and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, Treverius Ward's a free agent. They just might not be able to afford him. I think you'll have a market that probably goes north of what they can or are willing to afford. The wrench in all this is Brock Purdy, because that's why it's been like, hey, you got to clear the decks. You've got $65 million coming in. And now it's looking like, yeah, hey, maybe that's closer to like 40. Maybe the structure of that deal is a little different. But no, I'm with you. I think Deebo as a post-June 1 cut makes sense, because if you cut him pre-June 1, and again, we'll get into the machinations of all this later, but they don't save any money if they cut him before June 1. They're just eating those dollars for nothing with no savings. Javon Hargrave, they just restructured his deal, so it's a lot cheap. It's cheaper to cut him after a post-June 1. So that's a name I'm keeping an eye on. But yeah, Hufanga, Ward and Dre Greenlaw are the really interesting ones, because they've all had absences this year for different reasons. The latter two, Greenlaw and Hufanga have had major injury issues here with the ACL and the Achilles and the wrist, and their free agent market's going to be really fascinating, because if they're affordable, I don't see why the Niners wouldn't retain both of them.
Yeah.
I've been thinking Hufanga's gone because he's going to be too expensive. Same thing with Dre Greenlaw. But as far as like cuts, I think it's Hargrave and Samuel are the two that you can circle and go, those guys are logically the ones who are out the door, either pre or post June 1.
Deebo Samuel is really interesting, because if they move off of him post June 1st, then you're not getting draft pick compensation this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you're essentially giving him away for free or trading him for a 2026 draft pick, if a team even wants to do that. I would honestly talk to him and say, hey, Kyle, you took a pay cut. You aren't the same player. Do the same thing. If you say no, they have been open to moving off of him for 2 years in a row now. Like, they were rumored to trade him during the draft this past year. It was either Deebo or Brandon Ayuk, and they kept both. And I get why they did that. It makes sense. Maximize this year. But they can't save $17 million in 2025 and 2026 if they cut Deebo post June 1st. So there can be some money savings, just not really, you know, a lot in 1 year. But as Kyle pointed out, it all kind of relies on Brock Purdy. How much money do you give him? You can keep Javon Hargrave if Brock Purdy's not getting $65 million a year.
Exactly.
Which Hargrave, before he got hurt, was doing pretty well. And you tell me next year you have, whether it's Leonard Floyd or somebody else, and Yetur Matos is back, and Bosa's there, and maybe Greenlaw's back, and Hufanga's back, and Hargrave's involved in the middle, and Malik Collins is still there. Like, I don't hate that defense at all. I'm like, okay, run it back. Like, you gave up 12 points tonight. Like, the momentum is building for the defense, and I'm starting to believe in them more, and I have for the most part of the season outside of third downs and the red zone. But I think Deebo Samuel's kind of the big one you ask, and you're just like, hey, like, you're not the same player you once were. We can realistically save money by letting you go. Take a pay cut, or you're gone. You are a detriment to this team currently. Like, you are actively hurting this team on social media and on the field. So pick one. You want to stay, you want to go. I think San Francisco, they got to narrow down Brock Purdy first, though. Like, that is the biggest, like, what if, and it changes the entire offseason of what they can and cannot do.
Yeah, and to be ultra clear on the Brock Purdy conversation, the Niners don't have to do anything with Brock Purdy this offseason. Right. Now, they need to figure out what their plan is, But their plan could be ultimately do nothing this offseason, push it off for another year. Hell, maybe push it off for two more years, because they could do nothing this offseason, force Brock to play without a new deal on the last year of his rookie deal, and then franchise tag him in not this coming offseason, but the following offseason, and then go and do the following year and try to work out a new deal with him. That is a realistic timeline. Niners generally do not like to do that, but they are entering a time where maybe they have to be a little more ruthless than they have been in the past. So we will see how that all plays out. But you're right. The Brock Purdy decision, even if it is just we're going to decide next year, that decision has to be made before you do anything else. Mm-hmm. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Travis has been waiting patiently. He was at the game. Travis, I hope the traffic isn't too bad leaving Santa Clara. How you doing, Travis? Welcome.
What's up, boys? I'm doing horrible, personally. I hope you all are doing well. It was wet. It's cold.
Sorry,
I'm at a McDonald's down in Union City. No, it's okay. It's just football. Look, guys, I could probably talk you into the break. I got a couple of things. Let's throw some positivity. Two shout-outs top of mind. Jake Moody, 2 for 2, way to bounce back. He also did not have a penalty on the kickoff. Good job, Jake. I think, personally, you should consider taking the gin out of his mouth. Yeah.
So, take
the gin out of your mouth, because I think it's making him a bit wobbly. He's a littler guy. And then shout-out to Dre Greenlaw. What a comeback. It sucks that I'm glad he's okay. I don't know if there's like an update on his injuries, fatigue, and calf tightness. Good. Sit. It's fine. Okay. I wanted to talk about the offense. That's why I called in for. The game plan was atrocious. I'm not going to beat the dead horse here. Like, the whole first half, like, obsessive over Debo, weird. Bizarre game plan. A lot of our offense, I feel, in Brock is predicated on getting into a rhythm, getting going. You can't do that when we're trying to force feed our new Debo receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I do want to kind of flag or just bring up, and I would love your take on it, this fan base and the way we treat quarterbacks, I just don't understand. I'm 30 years old, so I miss Joe. My memory of Steve Young was the concussion he got that ultimately ended his career. Jeff Garcia, a little bit too young to really appreciate, and then some dark days, right? And then Alex Smith, Cap, Jimmy, mm-hmm. and now Brock. No matter what he does, it's just not good enough. Yes, he was not good tonight. I'm not going to defend that. Not good. The bad decision is Jennings, but he's obviously hurt. People are calling it saying he's hurt. You know, we're talking about the roast. Shoulders are right. The elbows are right. Why is the heat not on Lynch and Shanahan for putting our alleged franchise quarterback behind Jake Brendel, Colton McKivitt? I'm not going to hate on Trent Lippinello, but he has not been great this year, right? He's hurt. He's banged up. He looks jittery because he has no time. He's flushed out. He's ran more than ever this year. The O-line play this year has been atrocious. He's missing Ayuk. He's missing weapons. If you put anyone behind this line in this scheme this year, I don't know if it were that much better. The problem's bigger than Brock. The problem's guys like Debo. You check. All these dudes who are making all this cash and not living up to it. That's all I got, guys. I hope you guys have a terrific holiday. God bless. Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to go give us McDonald's. I jumped out of a car in the drive-thru to take this call so there's not back noise. So y'all have a great night. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, Travis. And really, really thankful for you trying to be a little bit positive, bring a little bit of positivity here. It only lasted for so long, and then you started talking about Brock and the offensive line. To Travis's point, I mean, he's flat out correct, and I think this is what you were talking about, Sterling, when talking about the one word to sum up this Niners season, and you said mismanaged. It was the lack of attention paid to the trenches on both sides of the football. And we could talk about the offensive line. Kyle, what do you think?
Well, I have a hard time saying that's mismanagement. And this is nitpicky. This is semantics. That's an organizational philosophy. They've proudly espoused that Kyle Shanahan has on the TK show and Odyssey podcast, and on and Chris Forster, the offensive line coach and running game coordinator, basically said, like, yeah, you can piece together an offensive line. You just need starters on the offensive line. What we care about is the guys who are going to score the touchdowns. Like, we want those guys. And I think that I get it, but that's also silly.
That because just feels like a misallocation of resources, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially when you already had George Kittle and you already had Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel. Like, okay, now you can invest in the offensive line. Like, that's now you can do that. That's such a weird thing that they've continued, and what that has gotten them is Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Isaac Arendo, who wasn't playing up until two other players got hurt first.
Ronnie Bell, who's been dropped, cut.
Ronnie Bell, right.
Thankfully,
I'm a little less nitpicky on the seventh round picks, but like these mid round picks, Cameron Lotu's a great, yeah, you picked a kicker, 99th. Like these are all picks that could have gone to the offensive line because I to the caller's point, the Chiefs' offensive line hasn't been great. Their tackles are kind of a mess, but on the interior they're very good. And you look at what the Lions have built. The Lions are gangsters because they can push around everybody on the offensive front. They're going to line it up and they're going to run it and there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry. Like here comes 5-6 yards of carry and in the red zone they're going to run it 3 times, they're going to score a touchdown. And that's just how it's going to go.
And if it's 4th and 2, they're going to run it and pick up 3 yards.
Yeah, man. Yep. Like
not in the playoffs though, baby.
Well, they tried to throw it on 4th down in the playoffs.
Thank you, Josh Reynolds. Thank you.
but yeah, so that's where I would like to see to Sterling's earlier point and to that caller's point. That's something I'd like to see the 49ers change this offseason.
Yeah.
Is just wholesale investment in the trenches. You've got Juwan Jennings, you got another year of George Kittle, your running back room is going to be freaking loaded. Like take a break from the mid-round running backs and the mid-round receivers. And hit me with some offensive linemen and maybe you find a couple of starters in there. And maybe you make life a little easier on your quarterback. But I think both things are true.
Yeah.
And I think offensive line isn't great, but Purdy wasn't great tonight.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think maybe to make it fit Sterling's mismanaged word, maybe Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch and company might not view the lack of resources, you know, spent on the offensive line. They wouldn't necessarily view that as mismanagement because that's their philosophy. But I think us three can they all agree that is mismanagement. Like that was just sure. Absolutely the wrong decision for the Niners to go into this season with Jake Brendel as your starting center, Colton McKivitz as your starting right tackle, and hell, maybe even Aaron Banks as your starting left guard. Like it has not been great across the board for the 49ers on the offensive line. Okay, time for a break. We got plenty more time for your calls. We got a lot more to get into. The Niners fall to the Rams tonight, 12-6. Their season is essentially over, and Devondre Campbell quit on the team in the second half, refused to go on the field. Any at all thoughts, welcome. 888-957-9570. Dylan and Eli, we're coming to you next as overtime continues. It's Mark, Randy, Kyle, Matt, and Sterling Bennett. More next on 95.7 The Game.